If you have your Bible, turn with me to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. And we're going to focus our attention on this subject today. Strengthen your prayer life. Strengthen your prayer life. Mark chapter 1. Let's stand in honor of the reading of God's Word. We're going to begin reading in verse 35 and read the following verses. If we are going to look to a person to help us in strengthening our own prayer life, I know no one who's better to look to than that of the Lord Jesus. And we're going to look at His practice. We're going to look at His daily practice. We're going to look at His example. And we're going to pray today that He will help us to follow in His steps, particularly in this area of His life and in this area of our lives. Verse 35, rising very early in the morning while it was still dark, He departed, and He went out to a desolate place, and there He prayed. And Simon and those who were with Him searched for Him. And they found Him and said to Him, "Everyone is looking for You." And He said to them, "Let us go on to the next towns, that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out." And He went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues, and casting out demons. Let's pray together. Lord, we give You thanks for Your Word. We're grateful, Lord, that we can read Your Word. We're grateful that through the power and work of Your Holy Spirit, we're grateful that we can understand Your Word. And Lord, we pray that You will help us to live out and apply Your Word this week and for the rest of our lives, Lord, as we look at this passage today. Help us to realize how we're to live out the truth of this passage, Lord. So, Lord, help us to understand. Help us to know what we need to do in response to Your Word today. Lord, I pray that You will strengthen our relationship with You and therefore strengthen our prayer life, Lord. And so we pray that each of us will be led by You and prompted by You, guided by You, to take next steps that will lead to our prayer lives being stronger than they are right now. And we pray this in the strong, powerful, matchless name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. You can be seated. As the title reveals, I want to make a challenge to you today. And the challenge that I want to present to you is the challenge to strengthen your prayer life. Now, I could have very easily have also said, I want to make a challenge to you today. I want to make a challenge to you to strengthen your family. But the truth of the matter is that when you strengthen your prayer life, you will also be strengthening your family. I could have easily said to you today, my challenge to you today is for you to strengthen your church, to do your part in strengthening your church. I could very easily have presented that challenge at the beginning, but the truth of the matter is this, that when we strengthen our own individual prayer life, we contribute to our church being stronger. I could very easily begin this morning by saying, I want to challenge you to strengthen the gospel presence in your community. But the truth of the matter is this, that when you strengthen your own prayer life, you contribute to the strengthening of the gospel presence within your community. So the bottom line is this, that many areas of life, family, church, gospel impact in the community and from it to the world, they're all impacted by this one common denominator, and it's our relationship with God and our ongoing communication with God through a strong prayer life. This morning, we're going to look at the Lord Jesus. We're going to look at three things from His life and seek to apply them to our own. The first thing is this. Strengthening your prayer life begins by making it a priority. It begins by making it a priority. When we look at the Lord Jesus, beginning in verse 35, we realize that prayer was a great priority to Jesus. First of all, we're reminded in verse 35 that Jesus established the priority of a definite time. Look at verse 35. Rising very early in the morning while it was still dark. And so if you were to question Jesus about his prayer life, about his prayer time, he would be able to tell you about a specific time of day that he set aside in order to devote to communicating with the Father and to devote time to prayer. Jesus would have said something like this. He would have said, I begin my day that way. As a matter of fact, my prayer time is in it's before dark. It's before things get started. Why would Jesus start by praying? Why would he set aside his time for prayer while it was still dark? Well, Jesus' life was very similar to ours in the sense that we live busy lives. I want you to multiply that times 10 and you could get some idea of the life of Jesus. He was constantly in demand. We're going to see that in the text as we continue to look at it here. But Jesus got up and he set aside a specific time while it was still dark because he realized that when the sun came up, things were going to get busy. He would have demands placed upon him. He would face decisions that he would make that day, and he would be constantly bombarded by people. And so he began his day while it was still dark, and he was able to say, this is my time that I devote to prayer. Now, obviously, Jesus, in being our example, we realize that Jesus did not just pray then and not pray any of the rest of the day. We realize that his example was one that we should follow, and the Scripture says that we ought to really pray without ceasing. That throughout our day, there ought to be a constant awareness of our relationship with God, the fact that we are in tune with God, and there ought to be, to a great degree, a constant awareness of and conversation with God throughout our day, whether we're traveling or whether we're at our workplace or whether we're relating to people. But what Jesus shows us here is that we need to set aside time just for prayer. He established the priority of a definite time. Also, secondly, Jesus established the priority of a definite place. The Scripture says not only did he rise very early in the morning while it was still dark, but it continues by saying he departed and he went out to a desolate place. A desolate place. Desolate meaning by himself. Desolate meaning apart from distractions. Desolate meaning where his focus, his full attention could be on communicating with the Father in prayer. We too should have a definite place. If you were questioned about your prayer time, would you be able to say, this is when I have it, and this is where I have it. This is the time I plan to have it each day, and this is the place I plan to have it each day. Jesus did that. He had a definite time, he had a definite place, and obviously here, as the verse continues, he had a definite practice. The Bible says he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. Jesus made prayer a priority. Now, I don't know about you, but when I read not only this passage, but others that reveal to me and remind me that Jesus prayed, that is a reminder to me of how much more I need to pray. If Jesus, who was sinless, needed to pray, then I need to pray because I'm sinful. If Jesus, who was God in the flesh, felt the need to pray, then how much do I, as a sinner saved by grace, need to pray? Jesus set it aside as a priority. Don Carson once wrote, Do you know why much praying is not done? Because we do not plan to pray. He said, few people pray without setting aside time to do nothing but pray. J.C. Ryle wrote, disorder is imminently one of the fruits of sin. And just as you allot time to eating, and you allot time to sleeping, and you allot time to your business, so allot time to prayer. Choose your own hours and seasons, but settle it down in your minds that prayer is one of the great things of every day. Don't drive it into a corner, Ryle said. Don't give it the table scraps or leavings or parings of your day. Whatever else you make a business of, make a business of prayer. And so for some of you here today, you have a strong prayer life already. I want to encourage you to continue. But for others of you here today, your prayer life may be either haphazard or non-existent. I want to encourage you either to begin or to strengthen your prayer life by planning for it. And like Jesus, having a definite time and a definite place and a definite commitment to practice this spiritual discipline of prayer. There's a second thing here in the text, and it's this. Strengthening our prayer life enables us to prioritize our time. Strengthening our prayer life enables us and helps us to prioritize our time. Let's go back to verse 36. Simon and those who were with him searched for him. Now get the picture. Jesus has gone to the place that he normally prays. He went to a desolate place. From what we gather here on this occasion, it was not with the disciples. However, the disciples knew where he was. They knew that if it was before dark, they knew what Jesus would be doing, and they knew where they could find it. If people came looking for you, would they know that you're praying and they would know where to look for you because they know where you pray? That was the case with Jesus. And so the Scripture says here, Simon and those who were with him searched for him and they found him and they said, everyone's looking for you. Now we don't know how long Jesus prayed here. We just know he started before it was dark. He started while it was still dark, but we know he continued in this time of prayer to the point that a lot of people were up. And a lot of people were up, and they had started their day to the point that according to Peter here, a lot of people were looking for you. As a matter of fact, he uses this word, everyone is looking for you. He didn't just mention a name. He didn't just mention a small group of people. The Scripture says here, everyone is looking for you. What did that imply? Well, that implied that here were people who had heard about the fact that Jesus was a miracle worker. Here was a group of people who had heard about the fact that Jesus had healed people. He had healed blind eyes to be able to see. He had healed lame legs to be able to walk. He had fed multitudes with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. They had heard about all that he could do, about all the needs that he had met, and they came first to the disciples and they said, where's Jesus? And Simon goes to Jesus and he said, Jesus, everyone is looking for you. Now, if we had not read this passage of Scripture this morning, and if we were reading it for the first time and we had just read to verse 36, here's what we probably would have assumed. We probably would have assumed that everyone's looking for him. He will go and he'll meet the needs of a multitude in the next sentence. But you know that's not what we read. Do you know what we read here? Let's look. They found him and they said to him, Everyone is looking for you. Look at verse 38. And he said to them, let us go on to the next towns, that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out. We do not see in this next verse Jesus addressing the needs of everyone here. We see Jesus making a decision. And Jesus' decision was this. Jesus chose to say no to some good things in order to say yes to the best things in his life. We call that prioritizing. You know, prioritizing is something essential to every one of us. Here's why. Because the decisions that we make about the use of our time every single day, they're not always decisions about should I invest my time in this which is bad or should I invest my time in this which is good. Sometimes our decisions are those types of decisions, and as followers of Jesus, those types of decisions, obviously, with the help of the Holy Spirit, are very easy to make. I must invest my time in this, in that which is good versus that which is evil or sinful or bad. But life's decisions are not always just black and white, good and bad. Here's often what we face when we face decisions in life, and those decisions, therefore, impacting how we invest our time throughout the day. Should I invest my time in that which is good, or should I invest my time in that which is best? Many of life's decisions are those types of decisions. On this particular day, this was a decision that Jesus made. Jesus was not confronted with, do I invest my time in something bad or something good? No, that wasn't what he was deciding on that day. Jesus' decision related to, should I invest this day in meeting the needs of everyone? That was good. That would not have been sinful. Had he gone and healed blind eyes in that crowd and lame legs in that crowd, and had he spoken to people in that crowd, those would have been good things. But this verse of Scripture says, and he said to them, let's go on to the next towns. And when I go there to the next towns, I want to go there to preach. And then he clarifies it by saying, that is why I came out. Jesus said no. Does that shock you that sometimes Jesus said no? Does it shock you that when you pray that you don't always receive the answer from God that you would have hoped for? Does it shock you that at times when you pray and you pray and you pray, it is as if God is saying to you either, no, this is not my plan or my will, or He's saying to you, wait. God does not always answer our prayers in the way that we want Him to. He does answer our prayers in the way that is best for His will and His glory as it relates to our life. And on this particular day, Jesus said no. Luke chapter 4, verses 42 and 43 give us another example of this. It says in Luke 4, 42, when it was day, He departed and He went into a desolate place. There it is again, His practice, His place. And the people sought Him, and they came to Him, and they would have kept Him from leaving them, Luke 4 says. They would have kept Him from leaving them, but He said to them, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose. And He was preaching in the synagogues of Judea. Luke chapter 5, verse 15. Luke chapter 5, verse 15. But now, even more, the report about him went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear him and to be healed of their infirmities. But he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. Here again, great crowds, they wanted to be healed. What did he do? He withdrew. Why did he withdraw? Where did he go? He went to a desolate place. What did he do when he went to that desolate place? Three guesses. Number one, he prayed. Right? You're right. He prayed. In our lives, we need God's help. We need God's wisdom in how we utilize our time, our energy, our resources. That's true individually. That's true collectively as a church. No church can say, you know what? We're going to do everything. We're going to do everything to reach people for the glory of God. No church can do that, and if any church attempts to do that, they find themselves as members burning out. And so as individuals with our daily lives and as churches collectively, as we think about our future plans and strategy, we have to prayerfully ask God, Lord, how would you have me to invest my time? Lord, as a church, what would you have us to invest our energy and our resources in? What are the wildly important things that you want us to focus on and prioritize moving forward? And to put it another way, in everyday life, whether we verbalize it or not, we need to pray this request daily. Lord, help me to know what I need to say no to, in order that I might say yes to your will and what you want me to say yes to today. Strengthening your prayer life prioritizes your time. Thirdly, strengthening your prayer life prepares you for spiritual warfare. Look at verse 39. And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. He went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. So let's back up again. Let's recap what we just said. We just said that Jesus chose to say no to this group that Simon called everyone. Everyone's wanting you. He said, I must go into the other towns and preach. Verse 39 tells us what two priorities he focused on as he moved toward the other towns. One was what we read about in the verses we've already covered. The Scripture says that he went throughout Galilee preaching in their synagogues. But the second thing, the second priority that we're reminded of here that Jesus invested his time and his spiritual energy in was this. He also cast out demons. He engaged in spiritual warfare. When you strengthen your prayer life, you will be prepared for the battle that comes at you and comes your way when you are a fully devoted follower of Christ, and that battle is the battle of spiritual warfare. Jesus engaged in spiritual warfare. When he would confront demons, he would take authority over them and he would cast them out. Jesus had power over demons. Jesus gives us the power to be able to confront evil as we face it in our world. Jesus gives us the power to confront our old sinfulness. We call it our flesh. Jesus gives us the power to be able to overcome the world that we live in so that we don't remove ourselves from it and be cloistered apart from it, but so that we engage in it, but as we engage in our world, we're not influenced by the world. We don't become worldly, but we become salt and light in a dark world. How do we do that? We do that through the power of God and the strength of God that comes through our relationship with Him in prayer, and it enables us to do spiritual battle and spiritual warfare. I would remind you of this important truth that when our prayer life is the weakest, our spiritual defenses are down. When you aren't praying, you might not hear this, and for some of you in the room, you won't even know what I'm talking about. I grew up watching Lost in Space as a kid. And for some of you, that's only, you may remember the movie, but a lot of you don't even remember that. But on this show, Lost in Space, there was a robot. And this robot, when danger was about to approach, this is what he would say. He had these funny-looking arms that would come out of their sockets, and they would go like this, and here's what he'd say. Warning, 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 warning. And I knew as a kid, I knew something was about to happen on that show. Because he would say, warning, warning, warning. Now you may not hear this like I just voiced it, but I want to remind you of something, that when you are a prayerless person, when your prayer life is weak, the Holy Spirit is saying to you, warning, warning, warning. And why is the Holy Spirit saying to us, warning? It's because of this truth. When our prayer life is weak, inconsistent, or non-existent, our spiritual defenses are down. When we have a strong prayer life, we're able to overcome the world, our old sinful flesh, and the devil. Why? Because strong prayer life enables us to do spiritual battle. The more consistently you pray, the greater your ability to overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. That is why so many times in Scripture, we're not only encouraged to pray personally, but we're encouraged to pray for each other. Realize this, that your prayer life not only impacts your personal ability to confront evil in the world and within yourself, but your prayer life also strengthens other people in their resolve to follow Jesus. And when you're not praying or your prayer life is inconsistent, it not only affects you, but it affects the people of God around you. Have you ever thought about this truth that when I think about my brothers and sisters in Christ, that their strength to some degree is influenced and impacted by my prayer life for them, my prayer of intercession for them. And that we can be strong, and we are stronger, not only because we're praying individually, but because other people are praying for us. And we face each day of life, not in our own strength or our own power. It's the power that God is giving us, but God is working through the prayers of other people as well as ours to give us strength for spiritual warfare. That is why Paul would say on numerous occasions, and I point out one, he said in Philippians 1:19. By the way, in Philippians he was in jail for his faith. Less than ideal circumstances, to say the least. He writes about rejoicing and about joy in the midst of that adversity. And in chapter 1, verse 19, he says this. And he says it confidently. I know. I know that through your prayers and through the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this, and this being His current predicament, this will turn out for my deliverance. Paul could say, you know what? I might be in a prison. I might be chained to a Roman guard. I might not have a lot of the freedoms that I want or enjoy. But I'll tell you some certainties. I know that you're praying for me. And I know that through the help that God is going to give me through your prayers and through the work of His Spirit, this situation I find myself in, it's going to turn out for good. It's going to turn out for God's glory and for my deliverance. When Paul encouraged us to put on the armor of God, and I'm glad that we sang about that this morning in one of our songs. When he encouraged us to put on the armor of God, he talked about each piece in that armor. He said, in verse 14 of Ephesians 6, he said, "Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and shoes for your feet, and having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. And in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all of the flaming darts of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." And then verse 18, he says this, "Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words will be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak." The one concern of the devil is to keep Christians like you and me from praying. You know, the devil fears nothing from prayerless studies. He doesn't care how many Bible studies you're a part of. If you're a prayerless Christian attending Bible studies, that doesn't pose a threat at all to the enemy. He fears nothing from prayerless work. You know why he fears nothing when we are serving God and we're not praying? Here's why he doesn't fear. Because we're serving in our own strength. He fears nothing about prayerless work. He laughs often at our toil. He mocks often at our human wisdom. But I'll tell you what he does. He trembles when we pray. In Paul Powell's book, How to Make Your Church Hum, he wrote of things that would contribute to greater church health and eventually growth. He wrote of properly organized worship services. He wrote about putting the right leadership in place and developing programs that, in his wording, would truly hum. But then he made a statement that counterbalanced all of the practical helps he contained in his book. And this is the way he put it. He said, "If we rely upon education, we get what education can do. If we rely upon organization, we get what organization can do. If we rely upon promotion, we get what promotion can do. If we rely upon money, we get what money can do. If we rely upon people, we get what people can do. But if we rely upon prayer, we get what God can do." What the church needs today, What we need today is what God can do. I want to challenge you this morning as we close to strengthen your prayer life. In a moment we're going to stand and I'm going to pray, and while I pray I want you to ask the Lord this question with me. Lord, if I were to strengthen my prayer life, regardless of how you describe it right now, you might say it's the best it's ever been. I still want you to ask this question. Lord, what steps would you want me to take? What step would you want me to take that in doing so it would strengthen my prayer life and strengthen my relationship and my communication with you? What step would you have me take? I'm grateful that in about a week you're planning a prayer emphasis, 40 days, where as a body of believers you're saying we're going to set aside our devotion time and we're going to focus on scriptures and devotional thoughts and prayer times that relate to how can I be strengthened as a Christian. How can our church be strengthened to experience greater health moving forward? And in a week, you will participate in a church-wide effort for 40 days. But I want to encourage you today to begin today with the person in the mirror and to ask this question with me. Lord, how would you have me strengthen my prayer life and therefore my relationship with you? Would you pray that with me? Would you stand and let's pray together?